About a week ago, Roger emailed me and said, you know, this is about a little bit after Pastor Bob had his heart attack, and he said, Fred, I know you're busy and you have all sorts of things with your wife going on and everything else. Will you please teach? And I hesitated, and then I prayed about it, and this is actually therapy for me. As you will see, Dodie is my inspiration for this passage, and I'm hopefully I will make it through some parts of this, because it's really personal. As you can see on the slide, the verse that I'm going to teach today is 2 Corinthians 12, 9. This is from the New King James Version. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly will I boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk today about the efficiency of God's grace. I remember about 15 years ago, somebody in a teaching training said, oh, you've got this word puzzle thing that you can make. And so I like word puzzles. But what I want you to look at this is, here is a word puzzle on the word grace. What pops out to you?
Grace.
Yeah, grace. But what besides grace? Yeah, great. Obviously, grace is what should pop out. But what about grace?
Love God, beautiful, love, word.
Okay. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of things. What popped out to me was active. And maybe it's because I'm active. Somebody says, why don't you just sit and relax? And my wife looked at them and said, he doesn't know how to. So we're going to talk about grace, okay? Specifically, God's grace. Anybody that knows my wife knows she's got a whole book of acrostics. Okay, she doesn't do as much as she used to. And so this was an inspiration to me. And I've got a couple of acrostics for grace here. Okay, the one with the picture. And sometime I would suggest you read those passages on your own. But grace here says, great gift, riches, acceptable gift, complete gift, eternal gift. Okay, that's what grace is, okay? Now, the one that we are all familiar with, at least, how many of you have ever heard of that acrostic for grace? Okay, I think most of us have seen God's riches at Christ's expense. Because it sure wasn't at our expense. And if you look at that, you see a couple things. It says, our God is the God of all grace. Now, why is he the God of all grace? If you read that and you looked it up in 1 Peter 5:10, it says he's the God of all grace because he makes you strong. He makes you firm. He makes you steadfast. And before that, he uses the word I love. He restores. Okay? That's what Pastor Bob has talked about, right? What's going to happen in a new heaven and new earth? We're going to have a restored body. So, our God is the God of all grace. Hallelujah. But his throne is the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16 says, it's a throne of grace to help us. Anybody want to fill in the blank? In the time of need. Oh, yeah. How many of us are in the time of need? Okay, I can guarantee you I am, as I will share a little bit. Thirdly, his word is the word of his grace. Acts 20:32 says, it will build you up. Don't we like to be built up? I mean, unfortunately, I need to be built up. And it's through this passage, my grace is sufficient. We'll talk about that word sufficient in a moment, because all I want to talk about is my grace. God's grace. It's the God of all grace. His throne is the throne of all grace. His word is the word of his grace. And as I'm sure Pastor Bob, in a couple weeks, or when he gets back, when he finishes Revelation, will say, and the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. So be it. Amen. God's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. So, that passage says, my grace is what? Sufficient. Okay? Okay. Beautiful. There's never a shortage of grace. Okay. We have a shortage of energy. Yes? Shortage of health. Shortage of time. Seemingly. Shortage of money. You know, fill in the blank. There's never a shortage of grace. My grace is sufficient. God's amazing grace is sufficient. Why? To save us from our sins. Romans 3:23 says what? A lot of people, you know this. Okay. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we kind of leave it at that, and I think we need to read the next verse. And it says, we are justified freely by grace. Okay. God's amazing grace is sufficient to save us from our sins. But it's also, God's amazing grace is sufficient to strengthen us in our struggles. Somebody want to read John 15:4 for me? And I know, and I can see everybody saying, what does this verse have anything to do with grace? Somebody, when you get it, John 15:4. Go ahead, Chris.
Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me.
If we don't abide in him, what don't we produce?
Fruit.
Okay? Same thing, okay? Without the grace of God, we're not going to have sufficiency to do anything. Okay? You know, it was God's grace that put Paul's through. Paul could say 2 Corinthians 12:9, because if you go back a chapter from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we get into 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let me just give you the highlights of verses 25 through 28. I was in prison. I was flogged. I was exposed to death. Three times I was beaten. I was shipwrecked. I was a day and a night in a very rough open sea. I was constantly moving. I thought I was bad moving 15 different cities in my first 10 years. I was in danger from rivers. I was accused. I had no sleep. I was hungry. I was thirst. And besides all of that, I had all these concerns and worries about my churches, about my livelihood. I read that and I said, you know, Lord, forgive me for thinking about what's going on with me. Okay? That's why Paul could say in a half a chapter later, my grace is sufficient. One of my favorite quotes, and I love to see this thing. God is all we need all the time. Just think of that. God is all we need all the time. I wish I knew more about this author of this poem. We're going to dissect this in a second. Each day God sends his loving aid to strengthen you and me. We need to use today's supply and let tomorrow be. Let me ask a question here. How do we use today's supply? What do you think the author, whoever he or she is, says we need to use today's supply? Today's supply of what?
Grace.
Grace, okay? Of grace, probably. How do we use it?
Clear our minds from tomorrow.
Okay. How do we do that, Susie?
Just live today to the fullest.
Okay.
Live today.
Is it hard to do that?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. Because in our mind, okay, especially me, I'm always, you know, my problem in school was my teachers always said, you're thinking five steps ahead of everything. Why don't you just go into the moment, you know, and not do five steps. You know, I was one of those kids that I always hated my students to be in math class. You know, you have a 8-step equation to solve, and I go from step 1 to step 8. Okay. Because I'm doing it. No, let's relax. Let's do it step by step, moment by moment, day by day. Because God is all we need all the time. And that word all means all. Okay, it means all, okay? You know, sometimes I know we have to think of he and me, okay? Again, this next slide hit me like a lead balloon.
Oh, yeah.
And there's many versions of this slide. I just happen to like this one. Okay, it says, every weakness, okay, because it says, my grace is sufficient. For my weakness is made what?
Strong.
Okay. Every weakness you have is an opportunity for God to show his strength in your life.
Sometimes Karen. Not even weakness. Sometimes just any trial that's
okay.
Coming at you. Like,
but don't we perceive trials to be weaknesses?
I think we perceive the weakness as being unable to solve the problem.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm bewildered of what to do for my wife. And really, I can't do anything. I can pray. I can support her. You know, for the 7th time, most of you know, she's going through chemo. And this is a... as she said, I'm going backwards. In her mind, she's going backwards. Okay, she's really not, but she's in the same kind of chemo that she had basically 7 years ago, which was the strongest. You know, I love the way my wife does that. Okay, you've all been recipients of her letters of encouragement, her poems and notes. Okay. She takes these opportunities, and every weakness, she makes an opportunity for God to show his strength. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power, okay, not our power, is made perfect. What does the word perfect mean here? It comes from the Greek word teleos, which means complete. Not half-hearted, not part of the time, complete. Any more thoughts? Okay. We were going to play a song right now, but as Jen's told me, the internet around here is not very strong. So I would suggest, okay, take some time at home, and the song is called His Strength is Perfect. It's by Stephen Curtis Chapman, and he wrote this song when his daughter died. And yeah, it was a tragedy. And he wrote this song, and it just, it brings you to tears. It brings you to really understand 2 Corinthians 12:9. It's called His Strength is Perfect. Okay, so sometime you've got the link, you can put the link. So just Google His Strength is Perfect by Stephen Curtis Chapman, and about 5 or 6 different versions will come, okay? This depends on what pictures you want to see. Okay, so my question is, how is His strength made strong in our weakness? Okay, strength made in weakness. Okay, some great quotes that I want us to look at. Okay, this is from Francis Havner. He was a preacher. Okay, he said this: the Lord has the strength and I have the weakness, so we teamed up. It was an unbeatable combination. Can we acknowledge that? I mean, I have difficulty, unfortunately, acknowledging that at times, okay? Because we want to be, you know, I want to be the strong one. You know, okay, it's hard to always try to be strong. The Lord has the strength, and I have the weakness, so we teamed up. It was an unbeatable combination, okay? Because who's the weak link here? We are, okay? And so, you know, we're only as strong as the weakest link. So the Lord has to, okay? McLaren, another preacher, said this: strength that imagines itself to be such is weakness, and weakness that knows itself to be such is strength. Let's just think through this again, okay? Strength that imagines itself to be such is weakness. What does it imagine itself to be?
Power.
Yeah. Weakness that knows itself to be such is strength.
I know I'm weak, so.
C.H. Spurgeon, one of my favorite preachers of all times to hear and to read. Our weakness should be prized as making room for divine strength.
That's great.
And then Isaac Watt, one of the greatest song writers ever, said this, and this is part of his thing. I'm going to read his words in a moment. It says, "When I am weak, then am I strong. Grace is my shield and Christ my song." Okay? Here's the three verses of Strength and Weakness by Isaac Watt. It says this: "Let me but hear my Savior say, strength shall be equal to thy day. Then I rejoice in deep distress, leaning on all-sufficient grace. I can do all things, or can bear all sufferings if my Lord be there. Sweet pleasures mingled with the pains, while he my sinking head sustains. I glory in infirmity, that Christ's own power may rest on me. When I am weak, then am I strong. Grace is my shield, and Christ my song." His strength is made strong in our weakness. Okay. So, If we know that my grace is sufficient, let's go back. Let me see if I can go flipping back to the first page. If we know my grace is sufficient for you, and His strength is made perfect in our weakness, then this is what we, you know, I was always told in hermeneutics. And therefore means, and therefore what should we do? Hey. And therefore most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Okay, so that's what we're going to deal with right now. Okay, so why boast in weakness? Okay, why boast in weakness? You know, because that to me sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Okay, should we boast? Not really, okay? But in this case, he's saying,
we acknowledge our weakness.
That's right. Okay. We acknowledge our weakness. Okay. First of all, we boast in weakness because it bears upon humility. Okay. Humility is won by the pressures of God's hand upon us. How are diamonds made?
Heat and pressure.
Heat and pressure. And a lot of heat. And a lot. Because what is a diamond to begin with? Yeah, it's a black piece of carbon. Okay? It's a coal. Carbon. And under intense pressure, it's made one of the beautiful things. Okay, you know, the ladies that always, you know, when they get engaged. Okay? When Crystal got engaged at our community group. Okay? So it bears upon humility. It also nourishes dependence on God. Okay? We boast in weakness. I cannot, but God can. That's something we need to remember, okay? Okay. I have a hard time doing that because I think I can do everything. I know I can't, but in my mind, you know, I think I'm a lot younger than I really am. Okay? But I cannot. God can. Why boast in weakness? It cultivates character. Okay, this one hits me. We know that physical weakness bears directly and continuously upon temper, disposition, and virtue. Okay, I refer back to an old book a lot of times because it really had an impact. Okay, None of These Diseases by S.I. Macmillan. Okay, because physical weakness will impact things. Emotional weakness will impact things. Spiritual weakness will impact things. Don't have to, but it does. And finally, why boast in it? Because it keeps a man open to God by its constant reminder of the need of God. That's why we need to boast in our weakness, because we know our weakness makes us what?
Strong.
It makes us strong.
His strength.
His strength, yeah. Okay. So we're doing this, okay? And somehow, oh, great. Oh, okay, so we can read that, and what I was going to read to you, I don't have because it got accidentally thrown away in Linda's office. A little bit about Annie Johnson Flint. Okay, we're all, us that love old hymns, and I love old hymns. Okay, I would rather sing old hymns than new choruses, even though I know new choruses are great. One of my favorites says, "He giveth more grace as our burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as our labors increase. To added affliction he add his mercy. To multiply trials he multiplies peace." And in the chorus, "His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus he giveth and giveth and giveth again." Now, what I can remember from my notes. Annie Johnson Flint was told about, I don't know, maybe midway through her life that she was going to be an invalid. She had arthritis beyond control. She had lost her parents at a young age. She was raised with her foster parents. Her foster parents, just before she was told by the hospital that she was going to be confined in a wheelchair, her foster parents died. Her only sister, her health was failing. Yet she remembers writing poems, and somebody picked up a poem, and it was, as she says, it was out of these poems. I don't know, I'm going to lose it here, okay? Because I'm sure if I asked my wife, it was out of her poems, and she writes poems constantly. She has a book about this, of poems. That it would be out of those poems that gives her the strength, okay? He gives more grace as our burdens grow greater. Mm-hmm. He sends more strength as our labors increase. To added afflictions, he adds his mercy. To multiply trials, he multiplies peace. Mm-hmm. Why? Because his love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth, and he giveth, and he giveth, and he giveth, and he giveth. Okay? So why should we gladly boast in our weakness? So that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Any comments?
I love the reverse economy of God. It's, everything that this world treasures and holds as a standard is just rubbish.
Yeah.
And he flips it on its end.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? Okay, so if I was preaching this sermon, which I'm not preaching, I'm really just teaching right now. I would say, this would be my ending. It says, "My grace is sufficient," and you can actually see the preaching. It says, "You who are tired in worldly circumstances, who have to endure the hard lot of poverty," however you want to define poverty. He's not only talking about monetary poverty. Okay, mm-hmm. "My grace is sufficient for you. You who are tempted day by day to say or do that which conscience testifies against." You can fill in the blank, okay? We all have that. "My grace is sufficient for you. You who are harassed with family troubles," we've got unsaved loved ones, unsaved kids, physical problems with our families, "and are often drawn aside into fretfulness." Okay, that's unfortunately me, okay? You know. What does Philippians says? Be anxious. Okay, come on. Let's finish it for me. "But in everything, prayer and supplication, give thanks." Okay. We unfortunately just take the "be anxious." Okay. "You who are harassed with family troubles and are often drawn aside into fretfulness, my grace is sufficient for you. The free, sovereign grace of God is sufficient for all his people." Okay, that little thing. All the time. In whatever state, or trouble, or difficulty, or whatever you want to say, they may be in. Period. So we end with this. "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." Okay? Okay, that's really the only important part of that verse, okay? Okay, I know it says, okay, and then that's what we're supposed to do, okay? "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." I love this. The depth of God's grace will always surpass the depth of our weakness. Say that again. The depth of God's grace will always surpass the depth of our weakness. My God, my grace is sufficient for you. Praise the Lord.
Yep, absolutely.